Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another episode of the Nate Darling Show. How you been? Becca, how have you been?
How have I been? I've been very good. Christiana and I just went and got frozen yogurt with like all kinds of hot fudge toppings. So we're kind of in a blissed out dessert haze. And I feel bad, everybody, because I invited Nate. I was like, Nate, we're going to get frozen yogurt. Do you want to go? And he was like, I have to set up for the podcast. And yeah. We were like, okay, see ya.
Yeah, we're super supportive like that.
This doesn't set itself up. Coming up on the show today, some bastards in England hand out parking tickets, and I'm pissed at them. I'll tell you why. Crazy people with a restaurant in the Phoenix area, and Wayne Brady is black. That's right. He's serious about it, too. But we start off the show with a Bieber monkey update.
Ooh.
Bieber monkey update. I don't have any music for it because this is kind of news.
Bieber monkey update.
Justin Bieber's pet monkey is no longer his pet monkey. A capuchin named Mally was seized by German customs on March 28th when the 19-year-old Dick failed to produce his required vaccination and import papers after landing in Munich for a European tour. Authorities issued an order Tuesday transferring ownership of the animal to Germany after Bieber missed the deadline to send the documents. He has 6 weeks to contest the decision. Mally, now 20 weeks old, was being cared for by Munich's animal shelter. He has fared well and gained weight and even got a visit Tuesday from Germany's environment minister. Good to know that Germany's environment minister has nothing better to do. We're going to make sure that Mally can grow up appropriately for its species, said Minister Peter Altmaier. The shelter has criticized Bieber for keeping such a young monkey as a pet, saying it shouldn't have been taken away from its mother until it was a year old. Experts say capuchin monkeys also need to be kept in groups, not alone. Monkeys are very sociable animals. That's why we're going to take Mally to a place where he can live safely and in the companies of others. So once again, Justin Bieber's monkey taken away from him.
Now, I read up on this because I was, I don't know, like the whole question of like, why did Bieber have a monkey? You know, it was weighing on me. And I read that it was given to him as a gift for his 19th birthday. It was a birthday present. And so I'm wondering if, you know, Justin Bieber has such a whirlwind schedule that someone just gave him the monkey and it was on the tour and nobody was really taking it that seriously. And that's why they didn't have the paperwork. And that's, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, thanks. Okay,
someone
I have
gave
a monkey.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to go to another theory. It's what I call the Elvis Michael Jackson crazy I can do whatever I want theory, because they both got monkeys. They got chimps and not capuchin monkeys, but what's going on over there?
I don't know. He's eating something that looks kind of metal. Kitty, kitty, put that down. No cat. No,
Becca,
seriously.
Could you check to see what's going on over there?
I will investigate.
Thank you. So that's while you're doing that, I'll see if Ted is able to answer his phone. Now, we tried him just before the show. Ted's in Boston.
Was it metal?
And so we're going to try and get him in on the show here, see what's going on. But we'll probably get his voicemail.
Ted?
It's Ted.
It's me. I'm not pooping.
Oh, good. Ted, you're on the show. We're recording.
Was it your earring?
You're live on the show. Welcome.
The cat was eating.
What?
Sorry. The cat was eating a bead from my purse. We were trying to excavate something from Ace's mouth, and it turned out to be a purse bead.
Oh, he's getting more.
Yeah, he's after the purse again. Ted, you're in Boston now, correct? Boston area?
In the Boston area. I'm at Babson College at the Executive Retreat Center with all the executives, which I'm not one of, but they let me in anyway.
Is it full of mass holes? That's what I've heard of Boston.
What?
Is Boston full of mass holes?
I did not see any mass holes. I pretty much went directly from the airport to the retreat center, and there's not a lot of Bostonians here, so I can't speak to the mass holes. So there's a lot of food here, though. They just feed us all the time, I guess, to keep us fat and happy and compliant. So that's good.
That's very good. Now, this retreat, is it anything like Becca's retreat where she tried to go for silence for the weekend and didn't get it?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of talking, but we kind of expect people to talk, so that's a good thing. There's no meditation. There's a lot of eating and sitting and getting up every 2 hours to eat some more, and there's alcohol, and I don't know. It's not bad. It's going well.
Well, excellent. The ladies just came from Froyo while I was setting up for the show, so They're already it is. So we'll have you on the phone here for the first part of the show, and then we'll let you get back to being in Boston for and enjoy the rest of it rather than hang out for the whole thing.
Awesome.
So
is Arjun there?
He's not. He had an issue to take care of, a sick girlfriend to attend to. So he is not here. It's just the three of us holding down the fort, quite ably.
Okay.
So yesterday, I went to Target to pick up a few things. You know, one of those random shopping trips where you know I need two things and you get a few other things and a few other things.
But you made the mistake of taking a cart out and then you had to fill it.
No. I used a basket. My story comes to a weird ending when I go to check out, because I got the checkout girl that wanted to make small talk, which is always a mistake because they're never good at it. You know, if you go beyond, hey, how you doing? Having a great day? Having done work? You know, that sort of thing. It's all great. So she checks me out. Here's what I got. I got a pair of cargo shorts. I got a 3-pack of white T-shirts. I got some batteries. I got some steak sauce, some Ben and Jerry's, a padded envelope, and some Lotrimin spray for jock itch. So this is what I got, and this is the comment that she made to me. Wow, that's quite a variety you've got there. I'm like, yes, it is.
I don't like comments on what I'm buying, because it's going to go, unless, I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way. If it's like, ooh, this is my favorite movie, I'm glad you're buying it.
Yeah.
Or what a fantastic CD, cute shoes. But if it's a comment about anything else, like, you know, if you're buying your prophylactics or
right.
your lady accoutrement
or the spray for jock itch.
The spray for jock itch, and people are just like, I feel compelled to make a comment about this somehow.
Right. And it's not like I'm using all of them at the exact same time together. It's not like I'm going to take out the Ben and Jerry's and the steak sauce and
cover your junk with it and cure that.
Yeah, and just that powder spray on top of it. You know, stop it.
I had one time I was checking out, and this was before I was dating Ted, when I was single, and the like bag guy was like totally flirting with me, and I was in line, and somehow he was kind of ignoring the person in front of me to talk to me, you know? And so by the time it got to my stuff, he couldn't see what I was buying. And he was telling me like, oh, I can tell everything about someone by what they're buying or whatever, you know? And then all I bought, I needed to buy grapefruit juice, and then they happened to be having a sale on tampons, like a really good sale. So I had a bunch of boxes. So that was it, just tampons and grapefruit juice. And it all comes over to him for him to bag. And he looks down and he's just like, I hate grapefruits. And I was like, I love them. And we were like, okay. And that was it. There was nothing else to talk about.
Well, there was. He just chose not to go there.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's right up there with those, you know, if the wait staff comes to clear your dishes and like, someone was hungry today.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
You know, just shut up. Let's not. I have the best is if you go to the Target on Riverside, and I don't know, I think she's always there in the morning, but her name is June. And she is a darling, elderly Chinese woman. I think
of course
she's Chinese.
It is.
And she will talk about every single item you purchase.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this lunch meat. Is that good lunch meat? Do you like this lunch meat? Yeah, I do. I think I'll have a sandwich made out of it today. Okay. Oh, some new socks. Those look like nice socks. Yep. Do you have a Target card? Do you have any coupons? Oh, you have that coupon? And it just, you know, sometimes I forget or I don't pay attention to what line I'm getting into. And then I'm like, oh, June, I had a shot at being on time for work. But if we're going to itemize everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it.
How about at the end? The new.
Why I like self-checkout.
Go ahead, Ted.
I'm saying that's why I like self-checkout. I don't want to talk to anybody and have my purchases judged and commented on.
Yeah, people crap on Walmart all the time, but since they put in the big self-checkout at the West Sac Walmart, that is fantastic, because I can walk in with my iPod on and my earbuds in, and I never have to interact with a single person. And I can get in and out of there, and no one gives me any crap. The only weird thing was I got one of those surveys on the Walmart register slip, and part of the survey is, how was your checker today? And I give myself very high marks.
Ooh, good job.
Because they should know these things. But yeah, it's very awkward when they do it. And now at Target, not to single them out, because Target's fine, but at the end, they have this leading question. Would you like to save 5% today? Now, I know it's, See, they changed it from, would you like to apply for a Target credit card, to, would you like to save 5% today? And the time that I was in there before, the guy asked me, would you like to save 5% today? And I go, no. And he goes, really? He's like, how could you not want to? It was like he was dumbfounded that I wouldn't want to save 5%. And I did the math. It would have been $1.50. So I'm good spending that extra $1.50, Chief.
Although I will say, even though ultimately it is a way for them just to data mine me some more, there is the option of getting not the Target Red credit card, but you can link it to your bank account.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want.
So then you, well, no, but I mean, you treat it like a debit card. You're going to throw it away. It's not any less safe than your debit card. But then you get 5% off and you're not going into debt to do it.
Mm.
I appreciate it.
Interesting. So this week,
buy a lot of Target. 5% is a big deal for me.
Well, yeah, sure. This week we found out the Kings are staying in Sacramento. So that's very exciting news. And the Maloofs are not. The
Yay.
Maloofs.
Yay.
They've sold their share, so on Thursday, so that would be tomorrow if you're listening to this on Wednesday, or today if you're listening to it on Thursday, or yesterday if you're listening on Friday.
What if
and
they're
so
listening
on,
like a week from Monday?
Then they really missed the boat.
Okay.
Big rally at Cesar Chavez Park in downtown Sacramento. I'm going to go and check that out because I think it's too big of a thing to miss. But you know what I realized? There's not really a big Sacramento song, you know, like a really cool Sacramento pride song, like a We Love LA. So I took to YouTube and looked for something, and I found this. So let me know what you guys think. It's catchy right off the bat, isn't it? This will be in your head for days, by the way. Not really.
And your best face you'll be showing, make you feel brand new. The place you should go if you wanna know the magic that you'll find when you're in Sacramento.
The magic of Sacramento.
I really feel like you could have sped this up a little bit.
Yeah.
You won't shake like San Francisco.
Yeah,
well, yeah, you would, actually.
But you live in style. Wherever you go in Sacramento, it's gonna make you smile.
No, it won't.
Where rivers flow and mountains grow, everything you want is here in Sacramento.
All right, so I'll turn this down a little bit as we...
I think my Youth and Government kids wrote a better song. I remember some other Sacramento song
yeah.
that...
I found this song. I just could not resist it. And what's weird is that I found myself singing it in my head. I don't... yeah, it's off. It's sort of catchy in that Casio sort of way. Ted, could you hear that over the phone line?
Can I what?
Could you hear that song over the phone line?
Yes.
Okay, and what are, as someone who's not in Sacramento now, does it make you want to rush back?
As long as you never play that song yet. That was horrible.
So Nate sends out to all of us on the podcast, you know, he sends out links for things that are going to be on the show so we can prep if we want. And I opened that one on my computer when I was sitting in the same room as Ted, and I was just letting it play as I was kind of looking at other stuff, and Ted was like, what are you listening to? Like, he hadn't heard it yet, and he was...
It's for everyone.
Oh, God.
The place you should go if you want to know the magic that you'll find is here in Sacramento.
Stop.
I feel
like a Gordy Little equivalent of music.
That is true. I feel bad, though, because... In general, I feel like people hate on Sacramento way too much, and
right.
that I love living here, and I love that someone wrote a song about it. I just wish it was a song that was...
Good?
Oh, I don't want to hate on it. Like, I appreciate the effort.
Oh, come on. It wasn't written by a 4-year-old kid. It was written by an adult. You can hate on it all you like. I think the Free Badge Serenaders do a song that's a little bit more of a tribute to Sacramento, but I found that and I thought, you know, they should play this song at the rally to make people leave.
Well, since Cake is not going to be there, they have to do something.
They're looking for a headliner.
Awkward.
If you're looking for a headliner.
Maybe
they
just meant they were going to serve Cake.
Right.
Did you say Cake the band?
Yeah, it's bad. All right. So,
Country can flick that song on me? That's mean.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, at least you're out of the time when you'd be using your minutes, so that's the important thing. Kai the Hitchhiker. We all remember Kai the Hitchhiker, right?
Yeah. Smash, smash, smash.
So let's take a listen to what made Kai the Hitchhiker famous.
Well, went straight out of Dogtown, skateboarding, surfing it up. Before I say anything else, I want to say no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable. And it doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything, you're worthwhile.
Foreshadowing.
And yeah, that's absolutely big time foreshadowing.
No one could ever take that away from you.
Right.
Now,
no matter what.
This stuff right here, I was driving and I was in the passenger side of this fucker's car and he comes over on there. He was over by the recycling center. He says, oh, when I was in the Virgin Islands, 30 years old on a business trip, I fucked this 14-year-old. I was like, you what? He's like, I raped this 14-year-old, starts crying, gives me a big hug. He's just like, fuck, 300-pound guy. I'm like, oh, shit. He must be fuckers,
he's
man.
He's sad
like,
about it
what's
now.
What's he talking about? I didn't take him seriously at first. Comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ, and I can do anything I fucking want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this fucking guy right there, pinned him in between that fucking truck. And so I hop out, I look over, the guy's pinned there. I mean, like, freight train riders know this. Like, if you get pinned between something, do not fucking move that shit, otherwise you bleed out.
That's
like,
true.
Motherfucking
freight train riders know that.
Sitting there like nothing even happened. And like, fucking, like, man, if you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here.
Hello.
Fucking, I hop on out, and so I grab the bag, I threw it over by that pole right there, and then fucking Buddy gets out, and these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like, a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick.
Like so a I pencil stick.
Behind him with a hatchet, smash, smash, smash.
Foreshadowing.
So, anyway, this past week in New Jersey, Kai the Hitchhiker, he became wanted for the bludgeoning death of a New Jersey attorney. He's since been arrested. He made it to Philadelphia. He was arrested in a bus station there. Supposedly, he met this New Jersey attorney in a Times Square. Philadelphia police said someone at Starbucks actually did something good, recognized him and alerted the police. The district officers went to the Starbucks, but Kai had already left. They later tracked him down at the Greyhound bus terminal around 6 p.m. and arrested him. Apparently this lawyer took him in and gave him a place to stay, and the lawyer was bludgeoned to death, allegedly by Kai, who, as we heard, is very familiar with smash, smash, smash. So kind of sad. Although there is an update in a post Tuesday to his Facebook page. Kai claims that he was raped, which this is his excuse on Facebook. What would you do if you woke up with a groggy head, metallic taste in your mouth in a stranger's house, walked to the mirror and seen dripping from the side of your face from your mouth and started retching, realizing someone had drugged, raped? What would you do? Which is a fair question, but this is a really weird, very weird story, and I'm sadly fascinated by it. Because, I mean, this guy is suddenly, you know, he's a hero in one instance, and 3 months later, he's in jail arrested for murder. So, I don't know. It was really strange because all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, I'm on Facebook one day, and a guy I used to work with works in New Jersey now, and he posts that he's doing a story about Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, being wanted for murder. And at that point, he was still a fugitive. And I'm like, wow, apparently he made it across country. So, yeah, very, very strange.
He may not have made the best choices.
No. He obviously has not made the best choices in life. But we'll see how it works out. I mean, if it turns out he was drugged and raped by this attorney, as he sort of alleges on his Facebook page, that's some circumstances that, not justifiable, but it takes it down from murder to manslaughter.
Sure, yeah,
something like that.
True.
So we'll follow Kai the hitchhiker and see how that sort of ends up.
I have a question.
Yes.
If he was arrested, how did he update his Facebook page?
Well, I think he updated it before he was arrested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was on the lam for a couple of days.
Yeah, they were looking for him for a few days and you know, internet cafe, I guess. Or some stranger at Starbucks said, "Sure, you can use my laptop to update your Facebook page, Kai the Hitchhiker."
That'll probably become a thing now in jails. Like, you can have one phone call and one tweet or one status update.
Well, I think some of them do have access to computers and internet, too, because if you're researching your defense, I think you need to have some sort of that.
Sometimes I think they usually could just let them use actual books.
Books?
It depends on how in, like, so I think what level of security they're kept in.
Sure. That makes sense. So this week, Attorney General Eric Holder testified before the House Judiciary Committee, and Louis Gohmert, who's a Republican from Texas. I'm not sure if he's a Tea Party member or not, but he's very angry and not the smartest fellow. He alleged the FBI failed to question Tsarnaev in a thorough enough manner, despite a tip from Russia that he'd been radicalized, even as the federal government was going after Christian groups like Billy Graham. And Eric Holder responded with, "You've made some statements as matter of fact." And then Louis Gohmert shoots back, "You point out one thing that I said that was not true." And then things got a little crazy. The whole thing is quite long, but we have about a minute long exchange here. And a little bit of it is sort of Robert's Rules of Orders questions, but and we'll get to those. But pay attention to how this clip ends.
In regular order. Mr. Chairman, I would still point out regular order.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend. The gentleman's characterization of the Attorney General's answer is not appropriate exercise of the gentleman's right of personal privilege.
So Mr. Chairman, point of personal privilege. Right.
The gentleman may complete his statement, and then we'll move on.
All right, thank you. The Attorney General made statements that what I said was not true, when actually the reverse is what happened. I asked the
what?
Yeah, it's just not gonna
he said what I said wasn't true, but the reverse is what happened. I don't know what that means, but let's carry on.
Mr. Chairman, this is my point of personal privilege, and then the gentleman will respond. No, it's not a point of personal privilege. Yes, it is. So when you attack somebody's integrity and say they made statements that were not true, then, of course, that raises a point of personal privilege.
Christiana, does that, in fact, raise a point of personal privilege?
I don't think that's an appropriate use. Point of personal privilege is usually like, excuse me, I need to go pee now.
Yeah, I thought so. So I just wanted to clear that up.
I want more time to talk because I think this guy's lying about something and bleep, 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 bleep.
So, and again,
going pee is a privilege, not a right?
What's that?
I said going pee is a privilege, not a right?
Well, if you
never mind.
Yeah.
In Robert's Rules of Order,
I think so.
So,
in the middle of session, you should have thought of that before you gaveled down the session, I suppose.
It's true. So now, there's only about 12 seconds left, so pay very close attention to what Louis Gohmert says going out of this.
But the Attorney General failed to answer my questions about what was
after what he went back in.
It was regular order, Mr. Chairman.
Aspersions on my asparagus.
Did you catch that?
Cast aspersions on my asparagus? Is that what he said?
It is. Let's hear that again.
What?
Mr. Chairman,
aspersions on my asparagus.
This man represents a section of the great state of Texas in the United States House of Representatives.
What did he mean?
I can't even figure out what he's trying to say. Nobody. I don't know, Ted. I think the inverse is true.
The asparagus dispersions on him? Wait, I don't. Confusing.
Exactly. I have no idea what it means.
It was pleasantly alliterative, though.
Yeah.
Is he an asparagus farmer? I mean, maybe if you are questioning my word, you may as well be casting aspersions on my asparagus.
If only it were that clear, then we'd have something.
It was one of the more sensible things he said, though, in the course of.
Fair enough. He's nutty. So Wayne Brady, back in the news this week, he says he respects Bill Maher as a comedian and a performer, but there's no love lost between the two. Let's take a listen to what Wayne...
to me that white people have made you a convenient target. For example, Bill Maher. You know what I mean? When he was talking about Obama, right? He starts comparing Obama to you as a way of saying he's not sufficiently black.
That he would be a real black man and not a Wayne Brady.
Right.
Well, as folks online, this at Wayne Brady, which is my Twitter handle. Why did I say that? Oh, because I read it on the monitor. I said to Bill, and it was taken out of context at a certain point because of the ignorance. Bill Maher, I've always respected him. Yeah. Lord knows not everyone can pull off the brilliance that he showed in DC Cab.
Well done. I was walking down the hall with you too, and you just
1982 reference.
I give him a try. Fingers crossed. I've respected him as a comedian and as what he does on HBO is great. When he starts to drag me in to use me as the cultural linchpin of his not black enough argument, that's bullshit.
Right.
Because, A, Bill Maher's never walked in my shoes, nor any black man's shoes, and I've even said in the quote, just in the interview that I did about him, just because you've been with a black woman or two, and I've seen some of them, it's questionable if they were women,
I don't think you get to do that.
I said it. Yep. And then after this, we'll talk about Clover, the character I play on my Disney show.
Yes.
That now you live the black experience? Oh, now you're down? No.
Right.
So to say that about
me. Bill thinks he has a pass because. And I'm never going to go to Bill Marshall now, but Bill thinks he has a pass because.
Well, I'll take it on me so you can go on the show because I love what you do. So, yeah, Bill, you think you have a pass. The fact of the matter is, if it came down to it, what I said to him was, oh, so then. If it takes the black man in your mind, as liberal as Bill is, and he, oh, no, peace and love, the black dude in his mind is the stereotypical, that dude.
Right.
That guy exists, but that's not the range of the black experience. But let's say that that's the black dude. So then when I meet you, when I talk to you again, I'll give you that black dude, and I will beat your ass in public.
So Wayne Brady going full black on Bill Maher.
I was kind of confused with the beginning of the, because the audio was weird. So what did he say?
Basically, when Bill Maher makes a comparison of someone who's not quote unquote black enough, he uses Wayne Brady as an example of a more socialized black guy. I don't know exactly
a black guy who's not very black, I guess. I don't know.
He's calling him an Oreo.
Who's really square or something, yeah.
Which is a super offensive thing.
Yeah, and Questlove, of course, from The Roots, tweeted, "Damn, Wayne Brady is about to choke a bitch." So that's Wayne Brady back in the news. And if you never saw Wayne Brady doing the skit on Chappelle's show.
That was where my head was going immediately, which is it's one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah, Wayne Brady is incredibly funny. And
he's crazy talented.
He is. And he's absolutely right. And there's this whole thing where some people go, well, part of the problem with the black community is they talk ghetto, so they're not going to get ahead in a regular society sort of way. And then Wayne Brady gets a raft of shit because he doesn't talk like that. It's like, oh, well, I can't win. So good for Wayne Brady for smacking down Bill Maher. Yeah, fight him. Fight him.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, so let me make this very clear to everybody. Cool or tool, it's just on the question I'm asking, not on the reversion back to what we're going with, okay? Clear? Clear?
What?
Actually, the inverse
point of
is true.
Asparagus?
Point of order.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I moved something. I'm going to have to make something up on the fly here.
Do not question my cucumbers.
Oh, I know why, because I skipped a story. That's why.
My beats.
We're still going to do Cool or Tool right now. I don't care. First up in Cool or Tool, that new Sacramento theme song, Ted.
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Too many times. Tool.
Becca.
Cool. Show your Sacramento love.
Christiana.
Oh, cool. Why not?
It, you know what? I like the effort, and it does get stuck in your head. So there you go. Cool. Up next,
wait,
cool.
Did we just sing the same song?
Yeah.
You all just said cool, right? We must have a bad connection.
It must have sounded different through the phone.
Mm.
I mean, it was Mozart levels awesome in here. We were weeping openly.
No, you know why? Okay. Because we're all breathing Sacramento air. We're kind of, you're outside the bubble looking in.
Okay.
Fair point.
Feel better.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Louis Gohmert for holding Eric Holder's feet to the fire. Christiana.
Cool. Absolutely.
Ted.
Absolutely, asparagus. Cool.
Becca, what do you think?
I didn't understand anything that was going on, so I'm going to call myself a tool for not understanding the article.
Oh, no. I don't think anyone in the room understood what's going on either.
No. Louis Gohmert was a tool because his whole argument was based upon a fallacy, and that automatically makes you a tool. So suck it, Louis Gohmert. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Wayne Brady. Becca.
Oh, super cool.
Ted.
Oh, he's so awesome.
Christiana.
Cool.
Yes, cool. Winner.
Yeah, ding, Wayne, ding, ding. Wayne Brady is like the Silver Surfer. He's so cool. I don't know if that's the Black Silver Surfer. Black Silver? What?
Sure.
Oh, I thought you were just shushing him, Christiana. You're like, no. Shh.
That too.
So that's it for Cooler Tool for this show. So Ted, you know what we're gonna do because you're on the phone. We're going to let you go for now, so we don't.
You should go to bed. It's very late on the East Coast, right?
It is.
Or we could call him back when we can call you back when we record the next show.
No, I think the connection is not great. There's probably more dessert.
All right, Ted.
For me to have. All right. Probably play the Sacramento song again, and I don't want to hear that, so I'm done.
Besides, you probably have like four more desserts and different food bars to go to before bedtime, right?
They had Choco Tacos like just in the little refrigerator downstairs. I could have as many as I want.
And how many was that?
Just one. They're not as good as you think they might be. That's disappointing.
Oh.
So anyway.
All right, Ted.
Have
well,
a good show, lady and gents.
Thanks for joining us. You enjoy the rest of your time in Beantown. We'll see you next week.
Cool.
Bye then.
See ya.
Bye, love.
All right, there goes Ted. it's tough when you're on a cell phone and you're doing that. But I thought he held up quite well with the whole thing.
Especially considering he was on the show when we were playing that song, because he really did not enjoy that song this weekend. So.
Well. That's, you know, whose fault is that? If you can't get into the spirit of the town, I say, that's all on you, Ted. Although, it's weird because I hated the song, too. I'm like, this is cornball, this is cheesy. And then I couldn't get it out of my head. it was stuck there. I was wandering around the apartment, and I was going, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. I'm like, damn it! It's like the most annoying song ever, but it does stick in your head. And the mountains don't grow here.
Yeah, I know. It rhymed, though.
The rivers do flow, but the mountains do not, in fact, grow.
No.
So I don't want anybody to think mountains are popping up out of Sacramento willy-nilly.
They couldn't be, because that song also said that it doesn't shake here.
That's true. It does. Not
which
like
is not, which is, of course, not true.
That is where they went negative with the song, and I don't know that I care for that. I mean, it's all
keep
positive.
Keep it clean, Sacramento.
Yeah,
keep it clean.
It's got this happy thing, and then you're crapping on San Francisco because it's near a fault line? Come on. It's not their fault they're on a fault.
Oh, I see what you did.
So this story came out, and I forget where I saw this first, but some rich Manhattan moms are hiring handicapped tour guides so that their kids can cut the lines at Disney World.
I'm going to say this is probably one of those slightly overblown stories, but okay.
You think it's a trend that's not a trend?
This story should have been in Florida Corner.
Oh, well.
It's sort of like a crossover Manhattan, Florida Corner. I mean, it's in Florida. It's Disney World.
It happens in Florida, but the moms are from Manhattan. They figured out a way to cut the long lines at Disney World. They hired disabled people to pose as family members so that they and their kids can jump to the front of the line. This is a New York Post investigation. The black market guides run $130 an hour or $1,040 for an eight-hour day. To quote, my daughter waited 1 minute to get on the It's a Small World. The other kids had to wait 2.5 hours, crowed one mom. who had hired a disabled guide through Dream Tours Florida. You can't go to Disney without a tour concierge, she sniffed. This is how the 1% does Disney. The woman says she hired a Dream Tours guide to escort her, her husband, and their one-year-old son and five-year-old daughter through the park in a motorized scooter with a handicap sign on it. The group was sent straight to an auxiliary entrance at the front of each attraction. So...
They overpaid. I spent $6 on an app that made sure that I didn't have to stay in any lines for very long when I went, so...
Well, ooh, good job.
Here's why they say they do it. It's because they can do that cheaper than they can get the VIP pass and fast passes at Disney, which are between $310 and $380.
$6. Yeah, just don't go during June and expect to not wait in line.
Well, yeah, I mean...
We think the rich 1% can go whenever it wants.
Well, you know, if you're the one, if you're really the 1%, you can afford the $380 an hour.
That's what I'm thinking. Why not just do it legit?
I think they probably do.
I think for the most part, I think it's probably a very small number of hens that do this whole thing.
Well, it was fun when we took my grandmother when she was in a wheelchair because we did go to the front of all the lines. It was her last trip because she was about to die.
Aww.
But at least we had those memories together.
Yeah, Grandma on Space Mountain. Woo.
No.
No? Okay.
But Star Tours.
Okay, so Star Tours. But anyway, so the other side of this is there's a group of handicapped people hiring themselves out to be family members. That's the weirder thing about this story to me. And so the question really is, do you applaud them for their ingenuity or are you more like, what are you doing?
I'm definitely like, what are you doing? But at the same time, I'm thinking, how rad would it be to be able to make like $100 an hour to ride on Disney rides? You know, yeah. Like that's like pretty cool. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to sit.
However you can make money.
You're
going
to sit at home and be handicapped, or you're going to go make a grand a day to go to Disney World? I mean, sure, you're hanging out with dicks, but whatever.
Hopefully they buy you lunch.
Well, but for $100 and some odd an hour, I can buy my own lunch if
that's
I have
true.
To. But the thing is, if everybody's posing as a family, they kind of have to buy you lunch.
Right?
As part of the deal. I mean, wouldn't they?
Otherwise, and some Mickey ears.
Oh, yeah.
With your name embroidered on the back.
Definitely.
So that was an interesting story. I love how the New York Post had this whole outrage thing, and I'm like, eh.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of put it up there with, to some extent, that elimination communication story from before. I'm sure people have done shitty things like this all the time, and they'll continue to do some shitty things like that, but I don't think it's going to be a super widespread problem.
Well, the thing is, they can't ask you if you're actually disabled or question what your disability is.
Well,
so if you just showed up in one of your family members showed up in a wheelchair,
right,
or in a scooter, they're going to do the same thing.
Well, there was a mom blogger who has a special needs son with cerebral palsy, and so she wrote this post about, you know, she thought this was super shitty, and the reason. And she said that she, you know, didn't really understand why, as it is, I think it was the mom blogger who said this, but, you know, that they, why don't they ask for handicap placards with your car? Which, there's plenty of, you know, greed and grift in getting those too, but at least it's kind of something where you, hypothetically speaking, have to have a doctor's note. But then the other side of it too is, we don't really want to put up a bunch of hurdles, because that's not the point. And Disney doesn't want to, Disney doesn't want to get into policing, like, are you just, you know, you must be this disabled to access the special line. And they're never going to, because they're Disney. They'll find some quiet, perfect, happy, inducing, mouse-eared, covered way to make everybody happy.
I have the solution. Would you like to hear the solution? This is going to make everybody happy. Handicap Disney. Where it's just a Disney theme park where only handicapped people go.
But if everyone's in the short line, then...
It's not short anymore.
That's the rub. But still, they have their own theme park. And let's focus on the positive here. Unlike this, I have a thing with meter. I hate meter maids. I really do. And no, I've only gotten one traffic ticket in 6 years, or one parking ticket in 6 years. So it's not because I've gotten a bunch of tickets. I just think that anybody who takes a job, seeks out a job where the main thing they do is provide misery to other people, is got something wrong with them. And it apparently goes across the pond, because this pissed me off, too, all the way from Great Britain, where they call them traffic wardens here. He tried to ticket mourners' cars and got a little more than he was hoping for. It was just before a funeral. He claimed he was assaulted by the dead woman's grieving husband. Relatives of cancer victim Rena Page, who was 64, had briefly parked four cars on a single yellow line outside her home in Norfolk as they waited for the Grand's cortege to move on. Her husband of 48 years, Mac, told the warden, "That's my wife in the hearse. What are you doing?" But the official replied, "I'm just doing my job." And he carried on. The family have now been told he reported the gardener, Mac, to the council and police for assault. Their son, Matthew, said, "I cannot believe someone could be so insensitive." West Norfolk Council said no tickets have been issued, but they refused to apologize. So, really, you're going to be ticketing cars behind a hearse? Really, you can't wait for a second, move on with your day, not be a dick? I mean, seriously, this is what you do?
Boo.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Tool.
It's one thing to do it. I mean, I get it. It has to be done. People are parked illegally, moving along society. But, I mean, they're the only police that turn up constantly. Like, I called the police because there was somebody moaning outside of my apartment a couple of months ago on the sidewalk, and I didn't know if they were hurt or whatever. And they're like, "Yeah, we had some people call already, and, we don't really have anybody in the area, so we can't send anybody." But if I called and there was somebody illegally parked that they could ticket and give, like, $150 citation to, there would be somebody in a three-wheeled car with a bicycle helmet over here in 5 minutes. And that's what kind of irritates me. So
I think it's because everything that they do brings in revenue, right? So
oh, yeah. If it's about...
They kind of pay for themselves.
Yeah.
There can be a lot of them.
Well, also, meter maids are nothing like cops. They don't have the same duties, and having them respond to something is absolutely nothing like having a cop respond to something that's...
No, I understand that. Cops might actually do something to help
one's
people.
One's code enforcement works for the city, and one works for the police department. I don't think they work for the same...
That's true. I think,
branch of government in most
honestly,
cases.
Though, like, if you are a meter maid... Like, you're saying, like, you bring misery to other people, but I bet you get yelled at so much. I bet it's
good.
Such a hard job.
Not enough. You don't get yelled at enough. Because you've chosen to do that. I mean, it's like, what went wrong with your life that that's what you chose to do?
Oh, come on. Unemployment is hard, mate.
Oh, No, I understand. But most of the people that have these jobs were not people that sat around dutifully scoping the classifieds. These are people who wanted a government job where they can make a set pretty good living to sit and ride around in a little three-wheel car all day handing out tickets.
Yeah, so people can yell at them. Everybody wants that job.
Well, that's what they do. They made their bed, now they can lie in it.
Yeah, I think you're a little off there. Well, I don't think it's that. I mean, I just don't think it's that bad a job. I once almost made a meter maid get teary-eyed in appreciation when I came out of a store. I pulled up. I ran inside to get a sandwich. I didn't pay the meter. I was like, "I'll roll the dice." I came out. She's giving me a ticket. And I'm like, I came walking up. I'm like, "Oh, you got me." And she was just like bracing for an argument.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope. Yep. I mean, didn't feed the meter. You got me.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't argue.
She was appreciative, I think, that I wasn't like, "Ah, get away from my car. You suck. You're terrible." Because, I mean, that's pretty much all she hears all day long is people screaming at her because they don't take the time to read the sign.
Sometimes. But here's what I do, and you're probably going to think I'm horrible for this. If I see somebody handing out writing a ticket, I will roll down my window as I go by in my car, and I will boo them. So all the heroes just... Boo.
Aww.
I don't yell.
I mean, I just think it's kind of a...
I'm not yelling expletives.
It's
just
a silly...
It's just booing them.
It's a bit of a silly attitude. Well, there are definitely incidents like, okay, the one in England there, that's bad. There are ways to make it bad. There was a business owner in the town where my parents live where they had some big, like, reopening of a movie theater. They went through all this rehab and the town had to, like, band together to raise it, whatever, and... You know, like, everybody went down, and some people parked in the closed Track Auto parking lot where it was closed. I think it was, like, Sunday, so it wasn't open the entire day.
Right.
And the owner found out about it, called the tow truck company, and had every single car in it towed.
Mm-hmm.
That guy...
Yeah, that guy's
should be, like, publicly stoned in the square. But some civil servant who's just doing their job and going around, and, I mean, there's other reasons besides just the revenue from the tickets that you want to keep cars moving...
Yeah,
around the grid.
There was a story about 6 or 8 months ago from Albuquerque where there was a murder late at night, and people couldn't get to their cars in the parking lot because the police tape was up, and so the guy goes home, he takes a cab home, comes back the next morning, and there's like a $200 ticket on his car, They'd gone through. The Meter Maids had gone through at like 5 a.m., literally right after police had cleared the scene, and just ticketed every car in the lot because the lot was marked no overnight parking.
Boo.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. So have you guys ever watched the show Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay goes around, tries to help people make a better go of it in the restaurant.
By yelling at them. It's like tough love.
It is. It's tough love. But he has their best interest at heart. Well, a couple of weeks ago, he did for the first time ever, he walked away and couldn't help them. He went to Scottsdale, Arizona, to Amy's Baking Company, Amy's Baking Company Bakery Boutique and Bistro. And
that's a lot of bees.
It is. She's nutty. She talked about how they have three children, but they're in cat bodies. Yeah. So they, let me see if I can find, we'll go through this. But anyway, they didn't take criticism at all, basically. And he said, look, if you're not going to take any criticism, I have to leave. And it was a crazy thing. Like, they had to fill the episode out with the crew taking down the remote cameras because they didn't have enough footage.
Wow.
So people saw the episode, and then they started making comments, because part of their thing was, oh, people on Yelp are ruining our business. They're lying about us on Yelp. They're lying about us on Yelp. So it's Amy and Sammy, and they started getting comments. They got stuff on Reddit, which is not the safest place in the internet, and then on their Facebook page. And then they started making nasty comments back at people, rather than just shutting down the ability for people to comment on your page. So here's one of them. Sammy and I will stand strong through the oppression that has been thrown at us. We ask that all our supporters keep us in their prayers through this rough and unjust time in our lives. Thank you all, and thank God. We will not bend to the will of these haters and sinners. Then, I'm not stupid. All of you are. You just do not know good food. It is not uncommon to resell things Walmart does not make their electronics or toys, so lay off. Which is a reference to the fact that they were buying things like their cakes and then just sort of repackaging them and selling them. Then it got crazy. We do not need this, you stupid people. America is about reselling. It's not a big deal. The cakes we offer are expensive because we have to repackage and ship. Do not blame us because you cannot afford quality. The Yelpers and now the Reddits need to back off. You're not right just because of some TV show. It went on. To Reddit, I forbid you from spreading your hate on this site. This is my Facebook, and I'm not allowing you to use my company on your hate-filled page.
Now, how long is the time span of these comments? Is it just like one person angrily every 10 minutes?
No, this is over like a 3-hour period. And this started about the time the show aired.
Do you think alcohol is involved?
No, I think crazy's involved.
Okay.
They discovered a Reddit thread posted to r/cringepics about their Facebook meltdown. The posts I just read. And then they started monitoring it. And they responded on their Facebook page as thus. To all the Yelpers and Reddits, bring it on. You're just pussies. Come to Arizona. You are weaker than my wife, weaker than me. Come to my business. Say it to my face, man to man. My wife is a jewel in the desert. You are just trash. Reddits and Yelpers just working together to bring us down. Pathetic.
Kind of the best, isn't it?
And the Reddit thread was unfortunately sending more unruly commenters to their Facebook page. Yeah, it just got bad. I'm not going to read all the things that people did to egg them on.
People on Reddit have a lot of time on their hands. Oh, yeah. Are sometimes mean-spirited.
Then it just blew up.
Newsflash.
What they lack in time, they make up for in venom, too.
Here's another post 4 hours after this started. We are not freaking out. We do not care about a witch hunt. I am not a witch. I am God's child. Piss off, all of you. Fuck Reddits. Fuck Yelp. And fuck all of you. Bring it. We will fight back. These are in all caps, by the way.
Of course.
Then they kept going. Go to sleep, you little kids. Dream about being successful because we have a multi-million dollar business with supporters. You can't bring us down. No, you don't, or you wouldn't have been on Kitchen Nightmares. Just saying. It went on an hour later. You don't know us. We will thrive and we will overcome. We're starting our family and we will teach our child exactly what God wants in their path. And we will teach them how to fight against oppressors like you people. We will start a generation of truthfulness and we will fight to bring places like Yelp and Reddit and horrible places, people like Gordon, to the light. And then finally, yeah, there are more, but I'll end with this one. I am Wonder Woman. I am a great chef, a great wife, and a great mom to my kids. And we will be parents to a human kid one day. We will show all of you.
To a human kid one day.
Remember the kids trapped in cat bodies.
Oh,
but,
dear.
Yeah, then they claimed that someone hacked their Facebook page, so that none of this was real. So CBS 5 in Arizona went out to investigate what was going on.
The kind of screaming we're used to seeing on shows like this, when an expert, in this case Gordon Ramsay, swoops in to save a struggling restaurant. Amy's Baking Company was featured on the show's season finale. And let's just say, things didn't go well.
I think you're too far gone.
For the first time in the show's history, Ramsay walked away.
It all has to come down.
The show aired Friday, showing owners Sammy and Amy flipping out on customers.
Where's the pizza?
Give me oven, he can suck it.
And since then, it appears they've been flipping out on everyone. Check out the posts we found on their Facebook page. One of the only ones we can share on TV reads, quote, "You are all little punks. Nothing. You are nothing." Most have so many F-bombs they can't be repeated.
I read
but
them.
All are hurling insults. So we went to the bakery to find out what the heck is going on.
Hi, we'd just like to talk to you about what's been...
You can't film us.
You cannot film us.
Would you like to comment on your Facebook posts?
I'm not making those. Someone has hacked into our account.
The FBI who hacked is in involved. Anthony Weiner's account.
You're not allowed to film me. You're trespassing.
But just as we thought our cameras were being kicked off the property, this story gets even more bizarre.
No, I know. She won't leave. Okay, she won't leave.
Co-owner Sammy wants to say a few words.
I cannot give you any interview. We have a contract with Kitchen Nightmare. And we cannot talk to no press for now.
And yet, he just keeps talking, backing up Amy and saying someone else wrote those scathing Facebook messages.
They hacked to our Facebook, Twitters, everything, you know.
But clearly the couple is on different pages when it comes to dealing with us.
There is not only stupid people, there is nicer people also. There is smart... I know I'm talking.
Sammy, you cannot talk to them. You are not... You do not have permission.
I'm not talking about Kitchen Nightmare.
So strange. Now, since
yes, it was.
They're a really weird couple, too.
Yeah, because
quite an age disparity there.
Yeah, she's.
I mean, I don't want to throw stones, but
she's probably about 40. I would say somewhere between 38 and 42, and he is somewhere between 58 and 80.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure where it is, and he's not from here. Wherever here might be, he's not from there. At one point, he tells Gordon Ramsay that he's an effing gangster. Which was probably my favorite. You're not a gangster. I'm a fucking gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, that's good. I'm coming here to help you. I'm a fucking gangster. As we record this on Tuesday, today was their grand reopening. So
I'm sure that went great for them.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on how everything went with that. If there's any fireworks to report, but craziness in reality TV. I know.
Today's show is making me sad.
Oh.
Like, the Kai the Hitchhiker thing was really sad. This is really sad. Oh, here comes Creedence Clearwater. Maybe that'll help.
Sure.
It'll get better in Florida because they always
Oh,
do.
Yeah. Everything that happens in Florida is really positive.
All right. Well, first up in Florida Corner, a Florida man stopping to steal beer while running away from cops. So that may sound silly, but it's South Florida. The illegal beer run occurred Sunday morning after a burglary suspect was allegedly caught in the middle of looting a Lighthouse Point home and trashing it with mustard and illegible scribblings. See?
Were the scribblings in the mustard? Because written in the mustard?
Yeah, he used the condiment as his tool of destruction. The bizarre string of incidents began about 2 a.m. Sunday when a neighbor called police to report seeing a man climbing to the second floor of a townhouse. The neighbors said he could hear things breaking and items being slammed to the floor. The residents of the townhouse were out of town. When two police officers arrived at the scene, they saw the intruder pacing in and out of the house while wearing a t-shirt over his head. That's right.
I wear mine.
Mm-hmm. When an officer ordered the man to stop, he took off running and jumped over a fence. Later, as the Broward Sheriff's Office helicopter circled and several canine officers sniffed around, he was spotted walking a few blocks away from the break-in. Further search by all the units on the scene resulted in a foot pursuit. During the chase, the deputy in the helicopter noted that the suspect jumped into someone's patio, disappeared briefly, then reemerged running from the home carrying two bottles of Heineken. So it's good that they can spot that from the helicopter. So according to police, he was seen throwing the bottles while continuing to run away, but was finally caught by a canine, where he then punched the dog while trying to escape, but was unsuccessful. He suffered unspecified injuries during his encounter with the dog. I'm going to guess it was some bruising and some puncture wounds. That'd be my guess.
I could see. I mean, Heineken could capitalize on this and make a commercial. Like, there's always time for Heineken, you know? Like, he stops and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. James, from James Bond to this guy. Everybody loves Heineken.
Mid-felony is the perfect time.
Yeah. Mid-felony is always a good time for Heineken. Now, also in South Florida, Anna Pierre is a candidate for North Miami mayor, and she has picked up a big political endorsement. She claims she has the backing of none other than Jesus Christ himself. And she's trumpeting it in the campaign material. She's uploaded flyers to her campaign's Facebook page, which read, Anna Pierre, RN, is endorsed by Jesus Christ.
It's amazing how much God and Jesus, like, they put out political endorsements all the time. I feel like 50% of the candidates out there say that they're backed by God.
Right. Although I think in this case, you could, if they have an ethics or a watchdog group there, because Jesus Christ, whether or not you believe he was the Messiah, he was a real person and he's dead.
He is.
So I don't think you can say.
To be fair, he did rise again.
He did.
To save us from our sins, and I don't remember the rest of it.
His corporeal form, which I think would be the only one capable of consenting to give an endorsement, does not currently live on this plane.
Yeah.
And therefore, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think Jesus cares who the mayor of North Miami is.
Maybe he does.
That's my take on the whole thing.
Can you say that fictional characters endorse you? Like, can you be like supported by SpongeBob SquarePants? Like,
if you pay for the licensing, I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Then they come and sue your ass.
Have you ever watched 700 Club? It's an interesting mix of fantasy, news, and religion. And people write in to Pat Robertson for advice on things.
Oh, Pat.
So Pat had some advice for a lady concerned about her husband's infidelity and how to get past it.
Ivy writes in and says, I've been trying to forgive my husband for cheating on me. We've gone to counseling, but I just can't seem to forgive, nor can I trust. How do you let go of anger, and how do you trust again? God says to forgive, but it's been so hard to do. I want to forgive. So we can get on with our lives.
Wait for it.
So what do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I think...
I like that he asked his female co-host.
Yep, and she gives a very reasonable answer.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness can be one of the most difficult things in the whole wide world to do, and especially when it comes to a spouse, because that's one of the ultimate betrayals.
All right, here's the secret.
Okay.
And this is the secret.
Oh, God.
Stop talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay.
Yep.
So
there it is.
What you do is begin to focus on why you married him in the first place.
Yeah.
On what he does good.
Right.
Does he provide a home for you to live in?
There you go.
Does he provide food for you to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Does he provide clothes for you to wear?
There you go.
Is he nice to the children? Do
mm-hmm.
you have a happy family? Does
sure.
he take the kids to sporting events? Does he go
it's
out
important.
And watch their little league games?
Mm-hmm.
Does he share with you stuff that's going on?
No mention does and, he clean the house.
Is he handsome?
Why would he do that? He's a man.
Is he hot?
What is it?
Yeah.
Is he handsome?
Start focusing on those things and essentially fall in love with him all over again. And
there you go. Fall in love with him all over
Just
again.
Just pretend you weren't married. Fall in love with him. Remarry him. It'll be like it wasn't cheating because it happened when you were on a break.
Yeah, well, stop thinking about it so much.
Wait, keep going. There's still lines no, that I like.
I just wanted to pause it for a second.
And I recommend you reach out and touch him. Touch his face.
With your fist.
Yeah.
Touch his face. Hold his hand. Look into his eyes. Talk to him. But it's you're praying, oh God, keep me not to hate him for what he did when he was with that stripper in that hotel room 10 years ago, and I'll never forgive him kind of thing. Please help me. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the thing that makes you mad. Stop that.
When did this infidelity become with a stripper?
He must have something good or you wouldn't have married him.
Yep.
So think about those things and give him honor instead of trying to worry about it. But recognize also, like it or not, males have a tendency to wander a little bit.
Wait, here comes the best part.
What you want to do is to make a home so wonderful that he doesn't want to wander. But think of the temptations that are out there.
Fair point.
The internet is filled with pornography.
Yeah, it is.
You don't even have to leave your wonderful home.
Magazines are filled with pictures, salacious pictures of women. You look anywhere you turn around, there's some solicitation to the senses to entice a man. And so what you have to do is say, my husband was captured. And I want to get him free.
And I got
to
capture him back.
Reach out and think of the good stuff.
Yeah, think of the good stuff.
Doesn't he at one point say, like, what did you do? If you go through the end, isn't something like, how did you let him wander?
And then begin to thank God that you have a marriage that is together and that, you know, you live in America and good things are happening.
Yeah, no. Except for the gay marriage. I thought that was happening and that was bad.
Well,
it's probably gay marriage's fault that this guy wandered.
Here's the whole thing about Pat and his advice. It is from another time. so let's start with that.
Not a correct one.
Well, you know, there's no correct time. It's just time. And it was a different time. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem with what he's saying, aside from what you're going to say. There's a tiniest kernel of truth in little bits of it, just enough to make people go, oh yeah, you're right. If your husband cheated on you, you must have done something. You know, you didn't make a happy home for him, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. You know what? If you cheat on somebody, that's on you. I'm sorry. And this whole BS thing about, oh, well, men have blah, blah, blah thrown at them and pornography on the internet.
Just kept seeing tits. They had to go find some that weren't the ones that were readily available in their home.
Now, if your complaint is that your husband is cheating on you by masturbating to internet pornography, you should probably just get over that. Unless it's an ongoing huge problem where you're not having sex anymore. If your husband every now and then rubs one out to some internet porn,
or wife, if your wife does
sure.
that too.
Yeah. Let's move past that. It's hooking up in a hotel and having actual physical intercourse with another human being. Let's focus on that being wrong. And that you can sort of go, you know what, that's wrong, and you shouldn't have done that. And here's the real answer. Go talk to a couples counselor. Not focus on the good stuff that made you fall in love.
Or realize that maybe he's not a good person, and you shouldn't have married him, and it's okay to go.
Or he made a mistake one time, and you can forgive him. That's the sort of thing that couples counseling does, that you work through. Mm-hmm. Was this a one-time thing? Is this an ongoing thing? You know, does one bad deed negate everything else you've ever done? You know, if you're a guy in Cleveland who helped rescue someone who was held hostage for 10 years, beating your wife earlier, that's completely forgiven. So shouldn't this guy, if he's a good husband and father, get a pass for one little...
I'm still not sure where you are on the Cleveland story. I can't really keep track.
I'm not really anywhere with it. I'm just screwing with people. So,
just checking.
Anyway,
the problem, I think, where this guy is dangerous and where some other people in some of these religious denominations are dangerous is that they focus on this submissive wife thing where the guy is the head of the household, and it's a sin and a moral failing if the woman's trying to take leadership within the home, because that's not her ordained position from God. She needs to let the husband do it, which is in keeping with everything he said.
Right. Because
you're supposed to be supporting the man. If you were appropriately supporting him, he wouldn't have had to fuck around. And since he did fuck around, you can continue to appropriately support him by forgiving him and thinking about something nice again.
Right. And Pat's point of reference
was... And these
people
are raising children. That's what bothers me. Well, these people who listen to him have influence over other people.
Mostly grandchildren at this point. Mm. But, I mean, his whole frame of reference is he going out and is he providing you with this and is he providing... Pat Robertson has a very Leave It to Beaver view of the world. Let's not get past that.
Right, where the woman's making a lovely home while the man provides everything.
Mm. Right. Right. And he's being a good participant if he gets to go to a softball game.
Yeah, you take your kids to a game.
Super fun to be a dad.
Yeah, you know what that means? That means Keith Lowell Jensen, worst dad ever because he hates sports.
Oh.
I know. Oh. Keith isn't really the worst.
He does like dance, though. I think he goes to dance classes. That's pretty cute.
Well, yeah. And
so what would have been Pat's advice? I mean, if the same exact letter, but the genders were reversed, like, you know, my wife cheated on me. I can't get over it. We've been to couples therapy. Would he be
She's
like, leave
person.
Her? Or would he be like, focus on the good things about her and make a good home? I mean,
you know, he probably would because, I mean, evangelicals aren't traditionally in favor of splitting up.
Mm.
So, I mean, he would do anything to justify the staying together part.
And he'd probably like send her to counseling or send her to a retreat or to therapy or to something because I'm sure she's probably the deficient center in that case, not cause to be. Or maybe he would say that the man was neglectful and should have brought her more pretty things.
That could very well be the case, too. The other big thing with the Obama administration, aside from the Louis Gohmert stuff, is...
Oh. Wait, what? What?
And I was like, where did Obama
whiplash,
get in?
Whiplash.
I
changed the subject, everybody.
Yeah, I did. There's a big IRS kerfuffle going on that the IRS allegedly did all of these things to investigate right-wing groups and groups that were Tea Party groups and so on and so forth, which, you know, I'm neither here nor there on. I don't know what went on. Doesn't matter what went on. But this kind of concerned me. This is an NBC interview with someone from the IRS.
And just to confirm one point, it's Tom Costello with NBC News. You're saying...
Costello, sorry.
And a quarter of the 300 were associated with Tea Party or Republican issues, correct?
No, I said that about a quarter of the cases that were selected for full development had either Tea Party or Patriot in their name.
Okay. So just, sorry, thank you for the clarification, but that would be a quarter of the 300 then. So we're talking 75 or so?
Is that a quarter? That's right.
That's right.
Thank you. I'm not good at math.
You work at the IRS. Don't say I'm not good at math. Even if you're not good at math, don't say that out loud. Things you don't say out loud. I'm not good at math if you work at the IRS. God. I'm sorry. That just really made me cringe when I heard that. I'm not good at math. Well, don't be stupid about it, for the love of God.
What are you not allowed to say because of your job? Like, what would be the terrible thing to say?
Oh, I'm not going to say that.
No, no, no. I'm just saying. I'm trying to think, like, TV producer, what would be the terrible thing to say?
Oh, the TV will rot your brain?
Oh.
Something like that?
I don't own a TV.
Nothing good? Yeah, I don't own a TV.
My kids watch that stuff.
you mean the idiot box?
Yeah.
That sort of thing I probably wouldn't say. You ladies get fired up about stuff, and it's scary sometimes.
Hot-blooded, tempered.
Mm-hmm. A Massachusetts woman. Oh, Ted, better watch out. Massachusetts woman who ordered a steak and cheese sub at a Subway station was so angry about too many pickles on her sandwich that she punched an employee and shoved two jars of pickles at her. That's according to transit police. The jars shattered and the customer fled without the sandwich, but the brine-covered employee managed to catch up with her and hold her until transit and local police arrived. The incident happened at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs at the Quincy subway station. After Tina Druan, 49, ordered the sub, she immediately complained the employee was putting too much shit on the sandwich and shouted, I don't know why this is in quotes, other derogatory comments regarding the preparation of the steak and cheese. I guarantee you that's not, seriously, don't put that in quotes. I guarantee you this woman who was angry about putting too much shit on her sandwich did not shout, other derogatory comments regarding the preparation of the steak and cheese.
I don't know. I mean, she was pretty fired up about pickles. Why wouldn't she have shouted that as well?
The thing I love about this story is that the sandwich artist who got pickles shoved at her and got slapped, like, leapt the counter or something, like, chased this woman down and held her until the cops came. Like,
citizens arrest.
Really impressed by that. I don't know. I would have been like, oh my God, someone hit me while I was making a sandwich. You know, like, I'm so impressed.
I wouldn't hit someone who's probably got a bunch of knives around. That's stupid.
So here's what happened. She demanded a refund when the employee told her she couldn't get one. Then she punched the employee in the face and pushed the jar of pickles on her, knocking her to the ground. When she fled from the station, the sandwich maker, determined not to let her escape, gave pursuit, catching up to her, and held her until the police arrived. So,
love it.
CNN could not reach her for comment. Transit police say they planned to file assault charges. By the way, CNN, when you put something in quotes, it means somebody actually said it. And I guarantee no one said, other derogatory comments regarding the preparation of steak and cheese.
My guess is probably a quote from the police report. I'm really glad that that customer isn't from here, because I imagine things going really wrong at a Mr. Pickles farm.
Oh, yeah.
That would be bad.
It would be bad.
Leave Mr. Pickles alone.
Be bad time. I hope Ted takes care while he's, you know, in Massachusetts.
Stay away from him, crazy pickle lady.
It's time now for small town news. I even skipped the stinger because, yeah, what the hell. And we go to Plattsburgh, New York for an opinion piece titled Flight to Colorado, A Mix of Memories by Susan Tobias.
Oh, no.
Happiness is defined in many ways. Last week, I'd have been happy if my luggage arrived in Burlington when I did. I love to fly. Looking down at the miniature houses, farms, fields, and lakes makes me wonder if this is how God sees them from above. Heavenly panoramas, but not so in regards to the airline I flew with. They failed me again. My trip to Colorado Springs to see our daughter Carrie Lee and family was great, even though I was delayed a day going to Colorado because of a massive snowstorm that hit the country.
I blame the airline for sure.
Understandable. The next day, though, their planes needed unscheduled service, which meant I missed my connecting flight in Chicago. Don't they have more than one plane? Eventually in Chicago, the agent said the delays were weather-related. Not so, I insisted. Finally, the airline representative found the information and said, I only have one room left that we contract for, about 20 miles from here at the Best Western. I had visions of the Bates Motel, but I took it. It's a Best Western.
I mean, it's not going to...
The hotel could not have been nicer. All-night restaurant and the friendliest staff I've ever met. The rest of the trip was great, too. Great memories are made when time is spent with grandchildren. One night we were at the Red Robin having supper. Angel 15 asked her mom for money to have her nails done for the prom. Mom said she'd have to wait a couple of days, to which Angel, typical teenager, said, but I want to get them done now. Putting in my 2 cents, I said, Angel, you need to go a third world country. Then you'd appreciate what your parents do for you. But she looked at me with all seriousness and said, but Graham, I've been to Mississippi. I laughed so hard. We cleared up the fact that she knew Mississippi was a state and not a third world country. The devastation of the last tornado that she saw when her youth group went there on missions to help a sister church was pretty bad. Another day, Quinn, 11, and Grayson, 5, were visiting with me's visiting Pops, their dad's father. He lives in a very well-kept neighborhood with flowering trees and pretty gardens. As we drove away, I started to sing, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? I asked Quinn if he knew who used to sing that song. Give me a hint, he said. What letter does it start with? I told him R. Excuse me. After a moment, he said, Ronald Reagan? Where on earth did he come up with Ronald Reagan? I laughed, and he said, what's so funny? If you're under 15, the answer is Mr. Rogers. By the way, if you're under 15, you're not reading this column. I'm just saying. On the flight home, I left Denver and Chicago on time and got into Burlington okay, but my luggage did not. After a 45-minute wait for an agent, I was told the luggage had gone to APV. Easy to mix up with BTV, right? She didn't know where it was and wasn't sure about delivery. After I got home, I looked up APV, Apple Valley, California. Next day, no luggage. Customer service finally told me it was an APV, Scranton, Pennsylvania. They'd call me when I was on a flight to Burlington. No call. I called them again. Finally, Donna, a very nice and compassionate agent, said it left Scranton, went to Newark, New Jersey, and would be in Burlington soon.
I really want to hear the luggage story.
I know.
Hear its version of these events.
Yeah, well, anyway, it got back 2 days late. So that's the end of the luggage story. And she closes every article. One last thought, as always, please be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
Isn't that Ellen's clothes, too? Who stole it from who?
I'm going to guess Ellen stole it from this lady, because this lady's old. Yeah. She lives in Plattsburgh with her husband, Toby. He's been a Press Republican newsroom employee since 1977. 6 children, 18 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren. They enjoy traveling to Maine and Colorado. And in her spare time, Susan loves to research local history and genealogy. So take that. Sorry, I had something in my throat. That's it. That's going to wrap the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, and who wouldn't with all this good stuff, and you're going to shop Amazon anyway, go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we give you big hugs if you do. And please, tell a friend if you love the show. We'd love to have your friends be our friends. And then we can all be friends, right?
The world needs more friends.
That's true. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We will see you all on Friday. Bye-bye.